Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All on mine, shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Steele podcast. We are speaking with Mary Trump, author, psychologist, and someone who I think has sat at a very unique point in this narrative. Mary, you have seen it because you know from one sense family history, so you've seen how some of the sauce was created. But then you also get to look at how it is impacting us culturally, politically, societally. You recently had a discussion, for example, on your podcast, The Mary Trump Show, which I highly recommend people listen to because it's fun and informative. And you, in this particular episode, you were talking about mental health and incarceration in the United States. And you pointed out, and it's something that I got to know and appreciate as Lieutenant Governor of Maryland dealing with the criminal justice system in the state, that $31,000 a year is what it costs to incarcerate an individual. Whereas if we spent $10,000 a year, we could actually treat them much more comprehensively within their community through community health services centers, et cetera. A, why don't we do that? Okay, so I'll just start there. Why don't we do that? But then B, what does that say? And maybe this feeds the answer to A, about from a psychiatric perspective, what we need to do to do it.
Yeah, it's kind of a depressing answer. It's sort of a two-part answer. The first part also explains a lot about our current situation, whether it's the debt ceiling or gun issues or what have you. If you're willing to lie, it's much easier to lie in a witty way that fits on a bumper sticker than it is to counter the lie with educated, comprehensive responses, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of it. It's just easier to talk, you know, punishing makes us safer or what have you.
Right.
Or, you know, mental illness is weakness and it's lack of character and whatever. Or it's too expensive.
Yes.
You know, who's crunching the numbers? Who's crunching the numbers? Nobody's crunching the numbers. And it kind of makes sense that it would be more expensive to treat people and make sure they're cared for as opposed to just jumping them in a cage. The other problem is more cultural. America has become an extraordinarily punitive society.
Yes.
I think it always has been, but it's kind of gotten worse in the last 7 years. And it's also a country based on this total myth of rugged individualism. So, you know, if you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps, why should I pay for you? And like, what gets left out of that equation is that punishing people is literally and figuratively very expensive, and it costs everybody. Mm-hmm. Like leaving, you know, for example, if people don't have healthcare and their primary care physician is the emergency room, who's paying for that?
Right.
Like you may think it's not fair for people who don't work to have healthcare, but you know what? It's going to make your taxes go up. So I think, and this also has to do with the issue of race. And I personally hate having to make this argument because we shouldn't have to, but we have to engage people's self-interest. It is bad for you on a human level, on an economic level, on a socioeconomic level, to allow other people in this society to fail, even if you hate them.
Interesting. Yeah, that'll challenge your notions of a lot of things, because and actually, in a very interesting twist, that is sort of the economic argument of the Gospels in some respects.
Right?
You know?
But instead, and this is really interesting, and it's something that people need to understand, is still operative. It was back when Black people were being enslaved and there were still white indentured servants and Black indentured servants. Wealthy white landowners understood that if Black and white working class indentured servants, enslaved people, that those economic forces came together, leaving aside race, white wealthy landowners would be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So what they did is they sold white workers a bill of goods saying that, you know, enslaved people are your competitors, and you have something much more valuable than making common cause with them, and that's your whiteness. And
argument is still the one that's being made today.
Exactly. But it goes back that far. And that's what I'm saying. Like, this is so, nothing has changed and people keep failing to imagine if the working class, which always only refers to the white working class. Right. Imagine if the working class were all working class people striving together towards the same goal. Imagine the power of that. But no, they knew if they allowed that to happen, rich people would lose out.
Well, you know, you
would be okay with that.
You raise a very interesting point, because one of the interesting sort of conclusions that I've sort of come to and watched play out, particularly with respect to the nature of whiteness in America. I got into a conversation many years ago with some buddies, and we were talking about immigration. And I was making the point, which was roundly rejected and told me I was crazy, that, well, immigration has always been a challenge for an interesting class of Americans that were largely Puritan, okay, in many respects, from a religious perspective. Certainly upper class, if you will. Mm-hmm. So what we saw when Germans, French, you know, Irish especially, Polish, all of these immigrants came to the country in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were segregated into ghettos, right? So you had the Polish ghetto, you had the German ghettos, the Italian ghettos, and we know the stories from New York to, you know, wherever, about how these people made it in America. And yet that sort of upper crust, sort of Puritan, Episcopalian kind of, you know, mm-hmm. wealth oversaw that system and segregated those white folks. My argument then went on was, what was interesting was when the Polish, and the Irish and the Italians started seeing themselves as white. Mm-hmm. And that's when things started to change. And the reality was one that put the country in a very different bucket. And all of a sudden, all of those folks who were once segregated were now part of the class that was segregating.
Yeah.
And my friends looked at me and said, "Man, you smoke way too much weed." And I went, "No, think about it." But that was then. Now that conversation, they get it. They're like, "Yeah, that I see that arc," because a lot of those, and we see that same kind of narrative evolving, interestingly enough, between certain Asian groups and certain Hispanic groups, mm-hmm. who try to project themselves as white because mm-hmm. of their fair skin. Mm-hmm. And ironically, that's something that Black folks, even fair-skinned Black folks, still had a hard time doing, trying to pass, because invariably people were seeking them out and trying to catch them doing that, you know? Right. But it's an interesting, this desire to be white has been an underlying theme for this country for a long time. And of course, it comes crashing down hard when it comes to Black folks, because
they can't assimilate. You know,
my hair wasn't straight and my skin wasn't light. So
yeah,
deal with it.
And that's, I think, what the process or that trend towards assimilation revealed what a hoax it all was. Because yes, they lots of psychologists and who were complicit in this, and they invented their racist IQ tests, and yeah, they put all the different races, because you know Irish people were considered a different race and
right.
discriminated against in Great Britain, and here initially. So they put all of the different races along a continuum, and you know, nobody was as superior as the white people, but of course, nobody was inferior as the Black people. And again, as different groups started assimilating and identifying as white and being allowed to identify as white,
right,
it became pretty clear that the only two races we were talking about here were white and Black, and that there was no hierarchy in the middle. It was just white up here, Black down here, and anybody else who can assimilate, go for it. And I think one of the reasons that remains operative is because white people with power have been able to convince white people without power not only that their whiteness has incredible value, which it does,
mm-hmm.
But also that it doesn't matter how well they do. The thing that matters most is that other people, in this case Black people, do worse. So they're willing to put up with a hell of a lot of horrible things, like no healthcare, terrible education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for that very reason, for that ability to feel superior to an entire race of people.
So that puts into context a conversation I had many years ago with a representative from the state of Mississippi who made a public statement that inferred that the vast majority of the poor in his district were Black. And I had, you know, because there's this equivalency, if you're Black, you're poor. If you're poor, you're Black. The press reinforces that narrative. It's the same thing with crime. You know, first thing you hear about, you know, today there was a violent crime that occurred. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's see who that is. Until I pointed out to him that the vast majority of the people who are on the dole, on welfare in his congressional district, are white. They're exactly. not Black. In fact, most Black people in your congressional district are doing very well. Thank you very much. Because they've not gotten caught up into the poisonous narrative that you are clearly espousing. So is the idea that I mean, when you look at Appalachia, you look at places like Mississippi, the poorest state in the union, the white leadership that clearly is not doing anything to change their circumstances, mm-hmm. and yet are pointing fingers at black ghettos, yep. urban America, and looking at the crime, looking at the poverty, looking at the poor education. I'm like, dude, have you checked out your own backyard? All those white people who are living, in many instances, much harsher existence than the black folks, because at least the black folks are like, well, you offered me free cheese. I'm going to go get the free cheese.
Well, I mean, Michael, that is such a good point. Not only are the white people in these incredibly poor areas of the country suffering, they're voting for people who only will increase their size. Nope, Medicaid is not going to cover dental, they say to the people who are suffering from you know, dental. I don't know anything about
disease. Yeah, I mean, mouth disease. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on in their mouth.
I mean, I don't know if anybody ever needed root canal, but it's really painful to have untreated dental issues. And you know, but no, keep voting for people who will refuse to help you with that. And it's one of the greatest scams. It's that it is very difficult to get through to people who can maybe get a message out if they continue to buy in to this idea that these people in these rural, poor, white districts are voting against their self-interest. No, they're not, because their greatest self-interest is making sure that other people are doing worse than they are.
So let's bring it full circle and let's apply what we've learned to our politics in this upcoming election cycle. And, you know, Donald Trump has got his own issues. He's going to deal with that. And I think in large measure be unfazed by it, because, you know, I talked to Republicans are like, well, you know, Donald Trump may not be the top of the ticket. I said, that's not necessarily a good thing for the party. Do you think this man goes quietly to any good night? I mean, do you really think that happens?
Well, there's only one way that happens, and I'm not going to say it out loud.
Exactly.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out, find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium, and also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Or consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. Pound 250 and Care.